son that composed your music. His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied?
I'm beginning to see the light.
Specific prayer for Josh and Mickey Byers this morning. They're actually at the church that is considering bringing them on staff full time this morning, and they'll go through a question and answer kind of thing and meet a lot of people, and it's kind of an important time and kind of a scary time and kind of an exciting time all at the same time for both Josh and Mickey. They've been so faithful to Lakeside Fellowship since the very beginning and have worked with our youth for so many years, and Josh and both Mickey just singing up here and just serving the Lord. So I'm just going to ask the Lord to bless their time and guide and direct in a very special way in their lives and the church's life as well. Father, thank you again for your many blessings. And you bless us with your word. You bless us with health. You bless us with life. You certainly, the top blessing is sending your son to die on the cross. You bless us with friends and fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. And we bring before you this morning a very special couple and family to the Lakeside family, Josh and Mickey and the kids. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless today. I pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. I pray, Lord, that you would clearly direct their lives. Lord, if it's your desire that they serve full time at Willow Creek, I pray that everything would go awesome today and that they would be able to answer the questions and that there would be a melding of hearts. We thank you for their ministry, especially to our youth here at Lakeside. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless in that as well. So we just ask your blessing on the church family at Willow Creek as well. And thank you that you're a good God and you graciously move in our lives to accomplish your purpose. In Christ's precious name, amen. Well, the theme for the study of the book of James for us is living proof how faith works. And as I've studied it and tried to glean what is James really after in the book of James, I think one of the very simple things that James is doing is he's giving us a list of tests by which we can determine the character or the quality of our faith. And so he brings some things into our life, or there's some proofs, some living proofs of whether we're genuine believers, and if we are, what is the quality of our faith? And so very early on in our study, maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago, we talked about one of the ways you can know the quality and the content of your faith is by how you respond when trials come into your life. What do you do? Do you try to run, or you try to point a finger at God, or do you get angry with God, or you say, why me, or you actually turn from God? James says that when a trial comes from God, you're to endure under it. And then a little later in James chapter 1, James writes about one of the ways you can tell the character of your faith is by how you respond to temptations that flow from your heart and are exercised by Satan and the world and all these things. Do you hate the sin that so easily besets you? And are you constantly being tripped up? And do you find ways to escape rather than endure like we would at trials? Well, today is probably the central test for James on testing the quality and the character of your faith. And that's in our response to God's Word. Now, we pride ourselves at Lakeside Fellowship in being a church where the pastor preaches from the Word and studies the Word and should know the Word, and we encourage people to bring the Word, whether it's an actual Bible or whether it's an iPad or a smartphone or whatever. We encourage people to open it up. There's a minimal expectation that you kind of know something about the Word, that you come on Sunday morning wanting to hear the Word. So James is very concerned talking to believers about how they receive and respond to God's Word. And I think James would say, if he was standing here, this is the test of whether you truly are born again, and if you are, the quality and the content of your faith. Are you growing in Christ? Your response and your reception to the Word of God is probably the litmus test for other humans and for you yourself as you look in the mirror to determine the quality and the content of your faith. So it's very important the next couple of weeks that I'm preaching, Nathan will be preaching next week, when as we look at what does James have to say about the Word of God. And so today he's going to be very practical. And what he has to say to me and to you is very necessary. I know as the pastor, if it's necessary for me to hear what James has to say, I know it's true for you as well. Now, I want you to see in James chapter 1, in verse 21, and it says in the middle of verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word. God says that when you come to know Him as personal Savior, He implants His Word into your heart. Jeremiah said, talking about the new covenant that was to come, that God wasn't going to conduct Himself like He had. He's actually going to take His Word and write it on our hearts. And so if you know Christ as Savior, it's not a matter of whether you have the Word or not. It's how you respond and you receive what God is doing in your life. And so we have the word implanted. It actually means to take up like residence. It's like a permanent fixture in your life. And so you want to ask yourself, am I avoiding God's word? Am I encouraged by God's word? Am I in God's word? Do I constantly argue with God's word? Am I like Jonah and run from God's word? Or do I tend to go to God's word and I say, wow, this is like life, like this is awesome, and I just want to know God's word? So God's word itself says that it's truth that will set us free. It's powerful to save. It's the source of genuine faith. It's like a hammer that breaks the hard heart. It's a light for your path. It's freedom for your life. It's everything that pertains to life and godliness right here in His Word. Now there's a problem, and the problem is in churches like ours. Here's the problem. D.L. Moody said it many years ago. He said, believers, or those who profess to be believers, tend to traffic in unlived truth. They traffic in unlived truth. In other words, they're doing a lot of listening to God's Word. They're doing some reading in our day, listening to podcasts, listening to sermons, going to Bible studies, and yet it's not reflected in a changed life. There's way more knowledge than there is obedience. Just think of your own life. Think of your last month. I mean, I bet if I ask some of you, you probably have averaged a couple of podcasts a day, or you listen to it on the radio, maybe you've read it yourself. But there's a gap between what you live, how you live, and what you know and what you hear. It's very dangerous. I just think of myself. I'll just use myself as the example so you don't have to think I'm pointing a finger at you. It's kind of funny when we get together and our family, my family, many of who do not know Christ as Savior, when we get together, I'm the official prayer in the family. You know how, you know, everybody come from a different background, and I don't do it like they would do it, but they ask me to pray, and so we hold hands, and I pray, and it's awkward for them as they listen because it's not the words that they expect, and so I'm the official prayer. I get asked to speak a lot. I speak up here on a regular basis, and so my output of the Word tends to be a lot in my life, and I'm asking myself, James is asking me, God is asking me, Dave, are you living as much as you're speaking? That is a danger for every one of us here. And to some degree, if you've been around Christianity at all, you are exposed to more of the Word than you're living out in your life. We delight in listening and talking about the Word, actually doing the Word is much different. I'm reading a book right now by David Platt called Radical. I would challenge anybody to go to the family bookstore and get the book, and I'm only about halfway through. But he's challenging the very core of my being. He had a verse that hit him, and he had a home down south, and the flood wiped it out in New Orleans, and the flood wiped his home out 4 or 5 years ago, and he was able, in the providence of God and through insurance, to kind of start over. And as he looked back, he started over. He got a really nice house and really nice things. And then he came across this passage of Scripture that he said spoke to him. And it's not like it would that God is telling every one of us to do this, but he read this passage about selling your possessions and giving to the poor. And he remembered studying that and kind of being convicted a little bit. And then a year went by, and two years went by, and then he heard it preached on again. He's like, no, God was speaking to me. But I was like, well, God doesn't certainly expect me. You know, God blessed me with this insurance, and he doesn't expect me to live in less than what I have. I mean, I'm kind of the middle of the road for Americans. Amen. So the key word this morning is found in verse 21, and it's the word receive. Receive the implanted word. The word receive literally means to be inviting, to be welcoming, to make feel at home, to be hospitable. It's talking about your interaction or reception of the word of God. You're to be hospitable. You're to be open door policy. You're to be welcoming. You're to make the word be at home in your life. Now, I know for a fact that some of you squirm because the word is not at home in your life. Let's just be honest. Last week, Deb's brother and sister-in-law from North Carolina and their four boys, their four rambunctious boys, came to live with our family for about a week. And that was an awesome thing, and it was good to have them. But I could have very easily, and in the middle of that week, I had the flu for a couple of days. And I longed to just kind of like go home and lay on the couch for a couple of hours to in a quietness, but it wasn't to be. And so I was thinking, okay, they're in my home. Am I hospitable to them? Am I making them feel at home? Am I inviting and welcoming? When they left, and they talked reality as they got in the car and they're driving back to North Carolina, were they able to say, hey, Dave and Deb seemed like they really enjoyed our company? I did, by the way. Gary's smirking over there. They're wanting to move to Polk City from North Carolina. They live on the ocean. I mean, like 10 miles from the ocean. They want to come. Isn't Polk City awesome? Come on. Yes. Man, I found some people here like trying to talk them out of it. Like, why would you want to move to Polk City? I was like, shut up. No, I didn't say that. So is the word of God in your life? It's not for me to determine for you. It's for you to determine for you. Does it have a welcome reception in your life? And who says so? Or what's the proof of that? Because again, we have a danger, and the danger is, in verse 22, that we deceive ourselves. So I just want to, it's going to be very simple, but if you or I, this week, as I try to listen to the things that I have in my notes this week, as I try to put these into practice, let's have four simple little things to share about this passage, but it would radically alter my life and yours if we follow these things that James says to a T. So I'm going to ask God to bless as we get into the practical application of this passage, and then I'd like to share what I think James is wanting us to hear. Father, I just ask again right now that you would give us ears to hear, that you would remove distractions, clutter, and that your Spirit would your word would penetrate to the deepest part of our hearts, and that in seed form it would end up transforming our lives. That's your pattern. That's your modus operandi. And I pray that it would start with me this morning. In Christ's precious name, amen. Okay, just four simple things. You're going to say, Dave, they're so simple. But actually putting them into our life is very difficult. Number one, talking about responding to God's word or the reception of God's word. Number one, approach God's word with humility. We need to approach God's word with humility. Now notice as I read verses 18 through 21. And when I get into verse 19 where it talks about quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, it's not talking about, in context, about your personal relationships. It's talking about you and God's word. Okay, so I want you to think of that. It's not talking about, man, I wish my in-law would just be quiet. I wish they would listen and just, you know, that this is talking about you and God's word. James 1, verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. We're talking about God's word. Slow to speak, slow to anger or argue with, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, there's the word for humility, the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Okay, so James, like James always does, he says things just black and white. So here's what he says about God's word in you, God's word in me. You need to be quick to listen to it, slow to speak about it. Now, he doesn't say don't speak about it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, here's what I find myself doing. I have a devotional time. Wow, exciting. A verse really pops in my mind. So what do? I put it on Facebook, or I text it to somebody, or I share it with somebody else or whatever. And I never actually got the step of actually having it kind of sift into my life and out through actions. I just shared it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. So approach God's word with humility. When you think about God's word, you should come with a teachable spirit and eagerness. Do you? Okay, now remember, James is asking us to test the quality of our own personal faith. Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you come to God's word when you read it to find out what God has to say to you? Is there an eagerness to your reading of God's word? Now, in my spirit, I'm talking about this, and I realize some people don't even get into God's word. James is just assuming you're in it. For some of you, you could say, James, you hopped right over me. Somebody said you have two ears that you cannot close and one mouth you can. I like that. Wish I would have had that when my kids were younger. So we're talking about a submissiveness to God's word as we come to it. And it doesn't matter if you've known Christ as personal Savior like I have for 30 years, 1 year, 50 years, 70 years. It doesn't matter. The character of faith that pleases God comes to God's word with a teachable spirit. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Slow to speak, slow to anger. You're not always fighting God's word. You're not always looking to prove your own personal preference. Now, I have a gentleman that I read about in recent days that I would like to share with you. Maybe some of you know this man. Maybe you've heard about him. His name is Eric Wayhan Mayer. I don't know. There's a picture, I think, if you could put it up there. There he is. He does a number of things, but he's an unbelievable mountain climber. He's 45 years old now, but he's one of about 100 people in the world, in the history of mankind, that have climbed the 7 highest summits known to earth. He climbed Mount Everest in 2001. One of his other feats, he climbed a mountain that I can't pronounce. It's about a 20,000-foot mountain. But in that mountain, there are 4,000 feet of vertical ice. I'm saying vertical ice. Now, go to the next picture, if you would. Vertical ice. Okay, would everybody agree with me? That guy is nuts. Here's why I bring him up. Eric has been totally blind since the age of 13. Totally blind since the age of 13. He's the only blind man ever to do all seven peaks to make that 4,000-foot vertical sheet of ice. And here's how he did it. I couldn't believe when he actually has a book out. I couldn't believe, well, how could a blind man do that? And there was a climber ahead of him, not helping him, not grabbing his arm, not pulling him up. Every climb he did under his own strength. But the man ahead of him had a little bell on his back. Everywhere he went, his best friend. And so Eric would climb behind, listening for the bell. If you listen to what his friend said that would be above him, he would say sometimes it would be 1 or 2 foot from just falling completely off the cliff. He had to listen for the bell. For Eric, listening was literally a matter of life and death. James would say, I know you don't feel like it's life and death, but your listening skills as you come to the Word of God is literally a matter of life and death spiritually. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. James would say, it's as important for you to listen to God's Word as it is for Eric to listen to the bell. So what has God's Word been saying to you? I just want you to pause right now. When is the last time you felt like God was saying something to you through His Word? I mean, where you felt it. Now, some of you, if you're honest, and I'm not asking you to speak out, so you can be honest with yourself, some of you say, I can't think of a time. I can't think of a time. Some of you have something fresh on your mind. Some of you will go back and you'll say, well, God's been speaking to me in one area for quite a little bit. And so we need to approach God's Word with humility. The second thing we need to do is we need to receive God's Word in purity. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this is the trip for so many people right here. Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Put away. Put off. Now, I want you to look at verse 21 very carefully with me. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. The difference between filthiness and wickedness is deliberate and intentional. It's pre-planned. It's determined. So, filthiness is not good. Wickedness is even worse. But I want you to notice in the verse, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and then receive with meekness the implanted word. A condition to receiving God's Word is to put off sin. And again, some of you would say, and I would know for sure, some of you are dabbling in sin and wondering why God seems so distant and dry. I can't get anything out of God's Word. So, in Scripture, and I just want to show you this, sinners are sometimes depicted as people dressed in filthy clothes. That's kind of a visual picture God uses. So Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. But I want to take you to just one passage so you get the visual picture before we leave this thought. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Now, you can use your glossary in the front or your appendix or index in the front. If you don't know, but it's towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah. So James is saying your lifestyle is the thing that stops you from hearing my word. You can't be this person on Saturday night and this person on Sunday morning. It's a disconnect. Zechariah chapter 3, I just want to show you this visual picture. It's used a number of times in Scripture. Zechariah chapter 3, starting at verse 3. Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed in filthy garments. Joshua was a high priest. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And verse 6, "And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and you'll keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge over my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing right here.'" Okay, now let me just get really practical for just a second. James said earlier in James chapter 1 that a double-minded person is unstable in all that he does. He's unstable in all he does. So having a foot here and a foot here, foot in the world and a foot with God, does not work for anybody. Now, after I first came to know Christ as my Savior, I was like, I knew some things were wrong in my life, but I was like, well, I got friends over there. So for a short time, I'm dabbling over here in the old world, and I'm not really pleasing my friends because they're thinking I'm talking about the Bible and I'm talking about Christ saved me, but I'm still with them, and so they're not really feeling comfortable around me anymore. And then I'm going to church over here and I'm hanging around the church people, and they know that, you know, I'm still kind of doing this or doing that or whatever, and they're not really comfortable with me either. And I'm like, I'm not really in with either group of people. I'm just kind of like right here in the middle. And James says, you are fooling yourself to think that you can live and have this stuff in your life and be able to hear from me. You won't hear from me. Unless you seek me with all your heart and you get rid of the trash that's in your life, which I will help you get rid of. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Unless you have a desire to get rid of that stuff, don't expect to hear from God. I talked to so many people in counseling, and I said, well, what have you been getting out of the Word? And is it any wonder, it doesn't always come back this way. It's like, well, it's been dry. Pastor, I got to admit to you, I mean, it's been dry. I mean, it just seems like God is like way out there. And I was like, well, let's talk about what's in there right now. What's in your life? God isn't way out there. It's just that you've put things between you and Him. Ephesians and Colossians talk about putting off and putting on. So double-minded person, James says, is unstable in all of his ways. So you need to approach God's word with humility, and then you need to receive it in an environment of purity. If you have all this clutter, nobody's going to feel at home in your house. God's saying, well, I'm the same way. I want my word to come in there. But if you got all the crap in there, it's going to be a distorted sound at the best. So receive God's word in purity. Number 3, reflect on God's word continually. Reflect on God's word continually. I'm going to go back to James chapter 1. These last two things I'll spend a little more time on the next time that I'm with you. But look at verse 22 of James chapter 1. "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and he once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres," or continually comes back to it, "doesn't forget what he's seeing and hearing. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So we need to reflect on God's word continually. Let me just, it's not enough for you to come here on Sunday and hear me spit out some stuff. That's not God's intention for your life. Now tell me if this isn't true. Tell me if this hasn't been a part of your life. I wrote this down. It's possible to be unfailingly regular in Bible reading and achieve no more in your spiritual life than moving your bookmark forward. You go like a week or 2 weeks, or like you look back and like, I can't even remember what I preached. Talking about the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11, this would be a great theme verse. You don't need to turn there, but write the verse down and meditate on it later. They received the word with all eagerness. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. I have told you one of the greatest delights of being a pastor is Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday getting emails from somebody that actually heard me preach, asking about something I preached about or sharing a thought that they got from the word. There's nothing that makes my heart like beat any better than that from a pastoral perspective than knowing people are getting in the word themselves intently. John verse 8 and verse 31 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you flip that around, if you don't abide in my word, you are fooling yourself. You're not his disciple. Now I have a gold sheet. If you could just pull out this gold sheet just for a second. I've shared both sides of this at different times, but I want you to just turn to the side that has the hearing the word of God and then some questions. Okay? So I want to challenge you this week, and this is very practical, but if you just did this for a week and made this a habit, this would radically fulfill what James is asking you by the Spirit of God. So hearing the word of God. So take a passage. You could even take this passage. Start right in James 1, 18 through 25. And when you sit down, tell God you're here to hear him speak to you. So you read the passage, and then you meditate on, just reflect, take some time. And then just ask a couple of questions. Is there a promise to claim in here? And just think about it. Is there a promise in my passage today? Is there a command to obey? Is there sin to confess? Does Scripture give me an example to follow? Is there behavior to change? Some of us need to receive an encouragement when we come into God's Word. Is there an insight? I remember when the very first time I ever was actually reading God's Word and I found a little nugget of truth for myself. It isn't something that Pastor Joe Hayes, my first pastor, actually fed me with a spoon. I was like, wow! And I went and told somebody, really, really, really good friend, and he said, yeah, I knew that already. I was like, well, don't rain on my parade. Is there an issue to pray about? Is there a reason to worship God? See, James is saying, interact with my Word. This isn't a textbook. This is my Word. It has the ability to transform your life. It's as important to your spiritual life as the bell is to Eric. It's my Word. So I challenge you to reflect in God's Word continually. And then just lastly, and this will really be the main part of the next time, respond to God's Word actively. I mean, this is a no-brainer, but I'm going to just warn you from Scripture. Okay, now listen to me. Reading God's Word is not doing God's Word. Listening to God's Word is not doing God's Word. Studying God's Word is not doing God's Word. Doing God's Word is the goal of everything that we try to do here at Lakeside. The goal of Lakeside is to so expose little kids, the youth, the larger group of people, the elder, to the Word of God so it can transform your lives. If you think you can accept Jesus and not obey Jesus, you are deceived. I'm deceived. Somebody said James was talking about people that had their ears clogged up. They already, when they come to the Word of God, they had their minds made up. And he's talking to a group of people whose thinking is all mixed up. They're deceived. Look at verse 22. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The key verse. How serious is James? Well, he follows his half-brother Jesus. And here's how serious James is. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, verbal speaking, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. God blesses obedience. You say, well, that's like the law. Dave, are you saying God blesses obedience? I mean, I'm not going to be blessed unless I obey? No, I'm not saying that. James is saying that. God's saying that. Trafficking in unlived truth. I pray that's not the caption over my life. I think of how often I get to speak God's word, pray with unsaved people, go to the hospital, share God's word, read God's word, listen to God's word, and I think about my own personal life of living God's word out. So as I close, I just want you to do something with me this morning. You just close your Bible up there. Take out your gold card, if you would. If you're visiting, there's a place to fill out information on the gold card. If you're a regular member or tender, we'd like you to put your name on there. That'd be a blessing. And then we're going to turn the gold card over in just a second. But I have a couple of questions that aren't on the gold card. Okay, now I want you to evaluate your heart for God's Word. So I'm just going to ask some questions. Okay, and I just want you to be honest between you and God. Do you delight in God's Word? The psalmist said, I delight in God's Word. Delight means I kind of look forward to spending some time with it. I find it refreshing, encouraging, challenging when I read it. It almost seems too saintly for my religious background to say, do you long for it? But a genuine believer should long for God's word. Can you take it or leave it? Does your last week's interaction with God's word say, take it or leave it, delight in it and long for it? Which one is it? Do you find yourself resisting it? I can't tell you how thankful I am for God's word, because in counseling I say, well, this is what God's word have to say, and it's like, you're not resisting me. You're resisting God's word. You fight it. Are you unmoved by it? When was the last time God's word actually spurred some emotion in your life? Are you simply reading it? Do you believe it? Do you obey it? When was the last time you changed something in your life because of what you heard or studied or meditated on in the Word of God? Really, that's a question. So if you've known the Lord for 40 years in your life, and you're familiar with the books of the Bible, and you've had every passage preached to you, when was the last time something in your life changed because of the Word of God? Have you been blessed by it? Has God been speaking to you through His Word? Is God asking you to actually do something? Then I would say, in our quiet time, as you look at the back of the gold card, I got a couple of things. read through the book of James every day in April and just kind of sit quietly. Last night, for whatever reason, about 1:15 or 1:30 in the morning, I wasn't asleep, and I went out into the living room. I flipped the little gas fireplace on, and I sat in what would be called Deb's chair. She was sleeping, so she didn't know. And I was meditating on James 1. It was the most special time of my week. Has God's word convicted you in an area? Then I would say right now, if you're one of those, God's been speaking to you in an area, then this is the moment to make a decision to actually do it. I'm not asking you for tell me what it is. I'm just saying make a commitment to actually do it. Listen to God. There's places to connect. There's prayer requests. If you want me to pray for you in this adventure, put it down there. I'd be glad to do it. You and God's word. Spend a couple of moments reflecting and meditating on that. And if you have something to confess, confess it to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we just come to Him with Him, and He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why don't you do some interaction about you and God's word?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.